This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Five oh six in the evening. Now, our first story of the hour is about the case of Adelina Lisau, an Indonesian domestic helper who died of injuries she suffered during her employment.
So the employer, Asambiga, has faced the charge of murdering Adelina, but was granted a full acquittal by the High Court last week. Her daughter was also charged separately for hiring a foreigner without valid documentation.
Now, there are and has been a lot of criticisms that have come out against the acquittal, saying that not enough justice was done. Migrant rights group Tenaga Nita called the decision shocking and demanded for an explanation from the Attorney General. Now, Bukit Matajam MP Stephen Sim said that the Attorney General's office will be investigating why the charge was dropped. And Stephen was among the first to highlight Adelina's case early last year. He had provided photos of Adelina being forced to sleep at the front porch along with the family dog.
Yeah, so this, I think, many of us would have seen those photos and remember the situation, remember the story, because it really was terribly shocking. And in this instance, I think the full acquittal is also problematic in no small part because that wasn't necessarily the request that was put forth by the prosecution. They asked for a discharge not amounting to an acquittal and she was instead given a full acquittal. So this has prompted, I guess, some legal confusion. People seem to be wondering what exactly this means and whether or not this amounts to a lack of fairness in the law and in how it is applied.
Yeah, and it's also a question about consistency, right? I think last year we saw one of the Datins who were charged with abuse, she had gotten scot-free before public outcry, and I think later her case was reinvestigated. So it doesn't seem like the judgments are necessarily fair and consistent across the board.
No, and because they are very emotive cases, and because more often than not, we are talking about instances where people were killed or where people were severely injured.
Yeah.
And when you read the litany of injuries that many of these cases of domestic helpers, what they've been through, when you read what the actual injuries are, I think it's very hard for people to process of how on earth this happened. And then you look at the outcome and you're like, is that really how things should be? Is that really how things are?
Yeah, it is great to see that there is public outcry and that there are many criticisms coming from many quarters. It's just then, from these cases, it's always, okay, what's the next step now? Because we continue to benefit economically from this, right? On several ends for the government, it's, they're able to push caregiving and supporting the family to underpaid domestic workers. And I guess then, how do you push the needle when so much of that is still in place?
Yeah, it is a difficult conversation, but that point about what happens next is so important, which is why we have an expert on the line, right?
Yep, we have on the line Latifa Koya from Lawyers for Liberty. Latifa, thanks for joining us on the show today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So in the past, the courts have made it clear that abuse would not be tolerated, but this case did not reflect that at all. Why have the courts acted in such a contradictory way?
Well, okay. In this particular case, what we know, through the news reports, that it is, what the DPP or the public prosecutor has done first by asking for a discharge not amounting to acquittal. In other words, they have given the intention to withdraw the prosecution, and in return, the judge gave an acquittal. So the matter has not even gone to trial yet. That's what happened, and that's actually, in fact, a very strange thing to do. And we are asking the questions and expecting some explanation from the AG's chamber.
So can we just talk a little bit about the phraseology of discharge not amounting to an acquittal? What does that actually mean in real terms? What would happen in such an instance?
All right. So when at some point during a trial or before a trial, a person has been charged, perhaps there's a new evidence or perhaps the witness is missing. So the prosecution can, out of many reasons, can ask the court or inform the court that they wish to withdraw the prosecution. pending for either further investigation or because they feel that there is no longer enough evidence for further prosecution. So they would ask for, they would in fact inform the court that they would like to withdraw the prosecution. Now, at this stage, the court would, the judge would ask, are you going to recharge or are you planning to bring back new evidence or is this a permanent withdrawal? Having, based on what the prosecution's answer would be, then the court would either give an acquittal or a discharge not amounting to acquittal. So in this particular case, we are very surprised to know that the DPP had actually asked to withdraw the prosecution, but the court gave a complete acquittal, which means it's as if, based on the news report, it's as if the prosecution no longer wished to pursue this prosecution. And how did that come about? It's still a mystery to us.
So the AG said he would personally look into this matter. What can the AG do here?
Well, okay. So basically, by right, the person who is responsible to do this withdrawal or to decide on whether to prosecute or not is the AG himself, who also doubles up as the public prosecutor. In this particular case, it is as if the AG himself was not the one who decided to do this withdrawal of the prosecution, which means somebody else is responsible. So we need to know who is this officer who gave the clearance to withdraw this prosecution, and why did he do it? Was there any sabotage or any funny business? We don't know. What was the deal? As you know, that this is not the first time a prosecution has been withdrawn. There may be many reasons why the AG would withdraw a charge. For example, we have had cases of, for example, sedition charges. Cases were withdrawn because of the new government, new policy. We no longer believe in someone being charged for sedition. So the AG had withdrawn charges against sedition. But in this particular case, it's a clear-cut murder case where, you know, there are videos of abuse and things like that, and it's a public interest issue. So how did the prosecution decide that to withdraw? So this is something the AG has to explain and find out who is the officer who is actually responsible for it.
So at this point in time, what protection do domestic workers, or for that matter, migrant workers, have against poor working conditions and employer abuse?
Well, this is the problem. As far as domestic workers are concerned, under the Employment Act, they fall under the category of domestic servants. So in other words, they are not recognized as the conventional employee. So as long as someone is working in a, you know, in a private dwelling, either you're a butler or a nanny or a domestic servant, you have very, very little protection because unlike an employee under the Employment Act, where you can actually go to the Industrial Relations Department, make complaints of abuse or whatever, you don't have that for a domestic worker. So this is where the protection is needed, and we haven't seen any announcement for that kind of change to come. So they've become one of the most vulnerable groups to be abused because they can hardly come out. They're probably kept there because it is a very much like a trafficked victim situation. You know, they might not have the proper documents, or they are, you know, in a situation where they can't run away because of visa problems and similar situations like that, especially when they are a foreign domestic worker.
And in line with that, specifically in this case, Adelina Lee Sao was hired without valid documentation, which of course had put her at a higher level of risk. How can this be regulated to ensure the safety of migrant workers?
So it comes back to enforcement, because if someone is to employ or hold a worker without proper documentation, that particular person, the employer, can be charged under the Immigration Act for, you know, holding someone or hoarding someone without a proper visa. then there must be some kind of enforcement. It is no doubt that there are thousands and thousands of domestic workers who are being taken in, and the data and information of these employers are with the immigration officers, and it should be shared with the Human Resource Ministry, which I believe at this stage that is not the case. There is no sharing of data because migrant workers are still seen as an issue of security. So it falls under the Home Ministry. By right, it should be falling within the industrial sector, and it should be falling under the Human Resource Ministry. So because of that, because of the lack of data, there may be a lack of need to enforce. People should be able to go to the houses and do these spot checks, which happens in other countries. You can do spot checks, especially if you know that this particular houses have foreign workers or domestic workers. They should be able to go and check and find out, like a counselor or if someone have the power to go and check a nursing home, for example. Similarly, you can do that if they want to. It all falls back to whether you have a political will.
So considering then that this isn't the first time that a case like this has happened, and there has been this level of uproar before, and yet we haven't seen much change, what happens next? What would you like to see happen next, and what should happen next?
All right. So first, there must be a massive change of policy of how one is to look at foreign workers, domestic workers, migrant workers. I think it is about time the Human Resource Ministry takes back this portfolio of managing foreign workers and domestic workers under its ministry first, and stop looking at them as an issue of security per se, and giving agents and unscrupulous, dubious agents who have been, actually labor traffickers who fall under the protection of the Home Ministry. So if we can bring those the portfolio back to the Human Resource Ministry, I think it's a good start. And of course, then you must also look into amendment and reform of the employment law, especially the Employment Act, to start looking at domestic workers as workers, which will enjoy benefit from the Employment Act. Right now, the only thing they have is if you want to sack a domestic worker, you have to give her a 14 days notice. That's about it. Nothing else that she would enjoy. So this is where they become very vulnerable. So if the government is serious about stopping this further abuse, they should really look at what makes them vulnerable. And these are the issues that have been debated for umpteen time by many, many NGOs, especially organizations like Tenaga Nika and all that. They've been fighting for this for the longest time. But unfortunately, there was a serious lack of political will, and we hope the Human Resource Ministry will demand for this portfolio to be brought back under his ministry.
Latifa, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us. That was Latifa Koya from Lawyers of Liberty. If you have any thoughts about this story, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.